Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Submission is not a bad word.
Everyone's looking for that feeling.
How do you decide which ones to kind of let go?
Oh, I'm married to you. I can't go nowhere.
We got a returner to the platform. This brother has been here before. Classic episode, but this one's a little bit more special.
No wishing, no fountains. I just remember the mountains. Moving when we were surrounded. How many times did...
There was times in the first 7 years of marriage, I was like, can one of us just die so we can be done with it? I had abandonment issues. I was killing her.
When would you say that your commitment was most tested in marriage?
Oh my gosh. Let me let you go before you hurt me.
Welcome to Hardly Initiated. It is your host, Tyshawn Jackson, here with another episode. My co-host, Ryan Ketchins.
I'm ready, man. That's it. I'm ready.
We getting straight to it like that?
Let's get to it.
We might as well get to it, you know what I'm saying? Because we got a returner to the platform. This brother has been here before.
Classic episode, too.
Classic episode. But this one's a little bit more special. You know, I think this brother here is a couple more Grammys richer. You know what I'm
right,
saying?
Right, right.
A little bit more successful than he was the last time he showed up to the platform. Are you now the most Grammyed out? Rapping in the space now? Like, did you break record? Are you breaking records now at this point?
I don't count. I don't know. I'll be just living, man. I'd be just living. You know what I'm saying? Okay, yes. What they tell me is obviously, you know, I'm a lot of firsts. You know what I'm saying? So the first to, yeah, first Christian artist to win a Grammy in gospel, rapper to win a Grammy in gospel. Be number one on Billboard, all those first things. You know what I'm saying? But let me tell you something, man. True story, I went to the Grammys this year, and all I wanted to do was take my daughter with me so that she could have a good daddy-daughter moment. That was my goal. Mm. That's all I wanted. And for us to win, we were sitting there at the Grammys, and she said, "You think you're going to win, Dad?" I said, "No." I said, "I know how this stuff works." You know what I'm saying? And I knew the people in the categories, and I was like, man, I see Maverick City up there. Trust me, daddy ain't taking nothing home. So just enjoy looking at all these people and being this close to the action. And so when they called my name, I literally was stunned. She's like, "Let's go, Dad, let's go. Go to the stage." So I took her up on the stage, and it just was, I mean, it made her day, man. It was like she got to get dolled up. You know, she's only 14, but she was up there looking like 19. So I had to let everybody know that's my daughter.
Right. Big facts.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. That's my daughter. Don't think I'm out here grave robbing, cradle robbing or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You know how some of these cats
do.
Yeah.
That's dope, man.
That's next level, man, to be able to share that with your daughter.
Man, it was phenomenal.
Yeah. Shout out to all the good fathers out there.
Shout out to the good fathers
Need
out
many
there,
more
man.
Yeah, man. It was a beautiful thing. So, I mean, yeah, it's great to be able to do that. It's great to be able to create those moments and just be able to share something super important with somebody that, you know, she's definitely daddy's girl. So it's like, it was cool to just have that moment with her.
Let me tell y'all, this is going to be an incredible episode, man. Lecrae has been opening up more and more, letting us into your family, into your marriage. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go a little deeper today.
Oh, shit.
All right? So y'all be patient. I want to show some love to our episode sponsors so we can get to it. Ryan, let the people know what's going down.
Yo, guys, listen, big shout out to Harley and Love Dating Cars. Now, I know y'all been hearing from me a lot lately, so this is what I got for you. Shout out to one of our initiates, Miss Andrea Allen, okay? She says, "Hello, Tyshawn and Ryan. I ordered the cars and shared them with my grandson and his wife in their hospital labor room. We had some very thoughtful conversations and relaxing moments while waiting for a scheduled C-section.
Wow.
This was intense, right?
Wow.
Being a twice divorced, 72 years young, single woman, I truly believe there is no age limit to true love.
Woo!
Let's say this out, guys. Most of us have never even had one single conversation of depth with our family members. It's very tough. And what she did was she tricked them both. She tricked them both, pulled out the card, and everybody, I'm sure, at that point was sharing relationship stories and trauma stories and everything else in between.
Right.
But guys, let me tell you, you can't. It's not just for the date night. It's not just for the game nights. It's for family time as well, because there's so many things that you can learn just from hearing about past relationships and experiences from your parents, your grandparents, and everybody else in between. So guys, click the link in the bio and make sure you cop these cards.
Absolutely. Right down low, guys, in the description. It's ready for you. Go ahead and get your deck. And we are now back to it. Man, Lecrae, I learned so much.
Oh, man.
Right before the show.
That's yours.
Oh, that's yours. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's yours. That's yours. That's yours for the lady. Absolutely.
We got to talk about these dating streets out here, because I've been watching TV shows and stuff, and I'm just like, it's bad out there.
Right.
Bad out there.
You happy you ain't in these streets?
What? I told my wife, if you leave me, I'm coming with you. So bad out there. I can't even. I'm like, I got single friends and ladies who like, you got somebody? I'm like, no.
Wow.
These dudes is trash. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just bad. Like, I don't understand how you be this grown. You can't be on the other side of 30 still acting like you 17. That's what's crazy to me. So it's bad. Now, I do know some solid dudes, and but yeah, it's like now the solid dudes got to deal with women who are like, I don't know about these guys. And so they like, no, I promise I'm a really good guy. And they're,
that's the toughest thing about the space right now. Everybody is a little jaded in the streets right now.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, when you're dealing with people that's jaded, you dealing with what everybody else did before you.
Yep.
It's not a clean slate.
Yep.
And I mean, it's hard to be in the streets and not get jaded, you know, with all that's happening, because dating is straight warfare when you're dealing with people that don't know you and they out to take. So you right that you better stay with your wife.
I'm not going nowhere.
I want to talk about that though, because a lot of people don't understand. First of all, how long you been married?
18 years.
18 years.
Wow. Met her at 18.
Met her at 18. Word on the street is you was you know, jumping around in these churches.
Oh, I was
trying to find some women.
I was
that the situation?
Not necessarily in the churches. I was jumping around in the streets first.
Okay.
I met her at 18. I was like, she's dope. Can't touch her because she's too Christian for me.
She was protected.
Yeah. I had enough morals in me to be like, I ain't gonna mess with the good Christian girl, because I know it's not gonna be pretty. Right. You know what I'm saying? Went to school, joined a fraternity. That made me a little college rock star. And then was out there got me a good little job, was making money, feeling like, you know, God's gift. And I was out there, man. I was out there. So I get it. But I wanted love. That's the difference. I don't know if a lot of these guys, like when I watch the shows like Ready to Love or Love is Blind, I'm like, I don't think they really want love. I don't, or at least what love looks like. I think they want infatuation. They want the feeling of infatuation, that enchantment feeling. You know what I mean? And that thing goes away. Everyone's looking for that feeling. Like, I don't feel like I'm in love. I'm like, love does not sustain the marriage. Marriage sustains the love. That's the difference. They're looking for the emotions to sustain something instead of the commitment. It's like, I know I'm committed to you, so I'm going to work on kindling that fire. And, you know, I was looking for that when I was young. I was looking for a connection. The problem for me was I wasn't healed. I hadn't had therapy. I hadn't dealt with my daddy wounds. I hadn't dealt with my mama wounds. And I didn't know how to like not see a woman and objectify her. So I had to learn a lot of things before I was able to be in a healthy space. So now when I'm watching and I'm just looking and I'm just like, yo, these dudes ain't healed. Mm. Like, they not ready. So,
you know, I was talking, my homeboy called me up the other day. He's been a 9-to-5 his whole life, mm-hmm. getting a little bit unfulfilled for, want to get into a different space, want to jump out into entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling me all these issues and concerns he's having. Most of the concerns are related to the failure of it.
Yeah.
He's like, man, but Ty, you know, I don't think I could do it because, you know, I got a family right now. You know, I got a lot on the line. He had a lot of good reasons mm-hmm. to be concerned, a lot of great reasons.
Yeah.
But really what it all came down to and what I ended up explaining to him is really it just sounded like he truly had a lack of commitment to what he wanted to really take on. Because trust me, we can come up with reason all day on why it was a bad deal.
Yep.
And I said, essentially, the thing about commitment is you're going to deal with whatever it is, whether you prepare for it or not.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because after I got off the phone with him, I really thought, I was low-key coaching myself too because I'm really dealing with them same issues
mm-hmm.
when it pertains to women.
Yeah.
Because I also have these reasons
okay.
of why I'm concerned about commitment.
Okay.
And all of these reasons that things can go wrong.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And all of the things that can harm me if they go wrong.
Yeah.
And a lot of us do that as men when it comes to women. We got a bunch of reasons why we're afraid of commitment. Was commitment, especially where you was as like that young playboy
mm-hmm.
who had options and who was moving around in that way, was that something that came easy to you or did you have to grow into your commitment?
Nah, I think... So first of all, I think... This whole, so to answer your question, first of all, I did have to grow into this, but I also had to define what it looked like. I didn't understand either. So the whole Greco-Roman idea of romance, right? Like that's a concept. It's a concept that became a value ingrained in our society. Like, the way you watch these rom-coms and Love Jones movies and Love and Basketball, like that's just perpetuating an unrealistic standard. Mm-hmm. So this idea of like the flame firing all the time and the sparkles and somebody who just like every person you deal with is broken. There's not a person on the planet who's not broken. If you find that perfect person, you let me know where they are so I can go worship them because that must be Jesus, okay?
Right.
Everyone's broken. Whose brokenness do you want to deal with for the rest of your life? Which broken person is committed to finding healing for the longevity of their lives? And that's part of the problem. So for me, I thought romance and being romantic and all these particular things was such a staple that if a woman did not, you know, embody that, if a woman did not reciprocate that in the way that I felt like she should, then I got to move on, you know, because the fire's gone. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes it would be fear of like, yo, you just didn't, you know what I mean? You didn't cater to me in a way that I thought you should. But the truth of the matter is I had abandonment issues. So when you study like psychology, you understand the different attachment styles, right? And so you don't understand your own attachment style. So because my dad abandoned me, my dad became an addict and left me, I internalized that, felt like it was my problem. My mom was a tough woman who had to work a lot. So she wasn't this nurturing mom like she couldn't be because she was gone. I was a latchkey kid. So I was looking for a woman to fulfill these things that she was never meant to fulfill, right? She can be a good additive. She can come be a part of that part of my journey, but she can't be all of that. And that was the problem for me. So I was like, yo, I don't know if she's all of that. I don't know if I can fully commit to her because of this. And then I would break up with women like this because I was afraid of being hurt. So let me let you go before you hurt me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because I don't want to get hurt by you. So let me let you go. So that was part of my issue early on.
Wow. It's interesting because, you know, that when I'm thinking about where I am in that struggle, I see how that you got to have, it's just certain, it's more of a mindset thing that you got to have to really be able to have a successful and really long-term relationship with a woman that sustains through whatever the hell is going to happen over these next few years.
Yeah.
And 18 years, first of all, big shout out to you. For
it don't help that, it don't hurt that she fine. That don't hurt.
That don't hurt. Definitely.
I told her that today. I said, man, if you get older, you get finer. I promise you, you do. It don't hurt. But I think men are visual. So that's the first thing. It's like, okay, she look good. But then what happens is you say, well, so does she. But so does she. But so does she. Well, what do I do? I don't know what to do because they all look good. So who do I commit to? And then it goes to what's she going to be like in this situation? What's she going to be like in this situation? And well, now she just didn't. And you just know you have all these options. So that's the thing is it's so hard for us to just to say, guess what? You got to narrow it down and just say, I'm going to commit and stick to it. There's always going to be options. I always got options.
But how do you practically do that? Because I'm considering you got to date, you know, I guess economies of scale, right? You got to date enough women to find the right one. But once you start to engage with them, you find these really great things, you know, all very unique about each of these women.
Yeah.
How do you decide which ones to kind of let go? And then how do you communicate? Like, what's the best way to communicate that? Because I'm like, once you get started, it's very, it's kind of what I think the most guys do. Yeah. And I could be guilty of this. You just kind of do it until it runs out.
Yeah. So what I love to advise, you know, my fellas to do is, it's very hard for guys to do. Just enjoy the friendship of a woman. Just enjoy the friendship of a woman without like having this ulterior motive. Like, can you just enjoy her as a friend? Can you just enjoy her presence, her mind, her personality, her character? Like, my wife had no idea I was interested in her for years. I was just enjoying her company. Can you enjoy the company of a woman without there being an ulterior motive? Do you even know how to be friends with a woman without like an ulterior motive? And a lot of guys don't know how to do that. And so I think you can find out a lot of the things you want to find out from a woman or about a woman without having to engage her heart. Because as soon as you engage her heart, now you're at risk of breaking it or her feelings being hurt. So you don't have to let everybody down. If you just, hey, I'm just engaging you as a friend. Let's hang out. Let's talk. But when you're on the phone every night talking to 2 o'clock in the morning, like y'all telling y'all deepest, darkest secrets, now you're giving somebody a level of vulnerability that they don't deserve. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Women are great communicators. They're really great at having deep conversations. Men, we always got to do something to talk to each other. We always got to do something. Let's go hoop. Let's get on the sticks. Women can just come over, drink coffee, and talk. You ain't never gonna see no, hey man, just come over, man, let's sit down and let's just talk. Like, we don't do that. Women are extremely
and they're talking about everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Women are good at that. So what I'm saying is men typically gravitate to talking about their more deeper emotional things with women, and then hearts start getting connected. Mm-hmm. And I find that it's If you'll pause on that and just get to know her as a person, as a friend, enjoy her company, and not engage her heart in a way, you know, not be like, man, when you came in, you was so sexy. You know what I mean? Like, why you tell her that? That's your friend. Right. Why you tell her that? Now, what you think her heart gonna be? You know, now you put yourself in that position. Like, man, the way your mind works, man, you just, man, I love the way your mind works. You're just so amazing. Like, why are you telling her this? Like, stop. Just go get a cheeseburger. Go play laser tag with a group of friends. Get to know her personality. And then you'll be like, nah, she ain't for me.
So, okay, so what does that say about me or in general any man that when he has an opportunity to express some level of emotion or, you know, high interest, you know, just interest in a woman.
Yeah.
When he doesn't, he feels bad about it.
When he doesn't or does?
He has an opportunity.
Yeah.
Right? He's trying to befriend a woman.
Right.
But when he has that opportunity, he's taking your counsel, right?
Yep, yep.
He's like,
yep.
You know what? She's looking real sexy, but I'm not going to say nothing.
Yeah.
They don't say anything, but then they feel really, really, they feel less of themselves after that.
I think, again, it goes back to what's the goal? You know what I'm saying? Is the goal, you talking about, is the woman feeling less of herself or the man is?
The man.
Because he said, okay, that's what I'm saying. So to me, it's like, what's your goal in this relation, in this interaction? Because if your goal, like we all got sisters or homegirls or people that are in forever friend zoned. You know who I'm talking about.
Right.
You know what I mean? You ain't never told her, like, well, you might have, but it's still, it's a little awkward to tell the girl that's the homegirl, like, you sexy, you fine. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's the homegirl. Like, right. That's not really how we communicate. It's your friend. And I think she doesn't feel like you think less of her, and you shouldn't feel like less of a man because you didn't share that with her. I think now, after becoming friends with somebody and you are starting to be like, man, I could see myself being consistently committed to her. Okay, now is the time to start. So, but why begin to engage her heart in a way? If you really care about her, don't engage her heart until you're absolutely sure. I knew I was going to mess my wife's heart up. I knew it. So I was like, I ain't talking to her. Because I just knew. I was like, I'm too inconsistent. I don't know what I want exactly. She's bad. But she's a type of girl you want to marry. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I knew that.
And we all as men, we know those women that you just stay away from until you got it together. And honestly, that's just respect. Honestly,
yeah,
facts.
You gotta have those boundaries.
You have to be a cold savage.
You gotta be a cold savage to just destroy the ones that you see doing everything right.
So what does that say about the ones that we're dating then? What
Ooh.
Does that see? What is that?
Ooh,
that says a lot about what you think about her.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
That says a lot about what you think about her.
See what I'm saying?
Like, this one already messed up, so I'ma just, you know, take it there. It's messed up to say that. But that's the mindset though.
Yeah.
That's the mindset.
So that's all I'm saying. I think we all gotta get to a place where we say, I'm gonna commit and just live in that level of commitment. To me, that's part of just being a man. You know what I mean?
Now
I really want to understand this because, and I think this is just shows how much sexual interest controls decision making.
Mm.
Because when I'm even thinking about the women I might engage, unless it's professional, if it's professional, I turn able to turn all sexual interests off.
Mm-hmm.
I just have always operated like that.
Yeah.
But if it's just friendly or it's just open or the relationship is undefined,
right?
My sexual interest for a woman determines like which women I talk to.
Mm-hmm.
If I just go to a random spot, which women I sit closest to,
mm-hmm.
you know, which women I give the most attention to.
Yeah.
You know, is that natural? Is that wrong?
That's the way we're designed. So I think that honestly that like, and neuroscientists have done research on this, that whole enchantment stage, when you're infatuated with somebody, when you're just like, oh my gosh, she bad. I want to just, man, I need to be. Like, that's part of our hard wiring so that we'll procreate. You know what I'm saying? Because if it's just, what's up, shawty? You're not thinking about doing nothing
right.
Nasty to her. That's the, you know what I mean? But when you just like, man, every time I think, woo, I just want to take another look or I just want to sit closer to her. I think that's part of God's hard wiring for us to put us in a position to procreate. But I think it's natural. I think that's fine. I think it's, so I'm just, I'll tell on myself. I was watching a show. I was watching Ready to Love with Uncle Nephew Tommy, right?
Okay.
And I see this young lady, and she's gorgeous. She's one of the contestants on the show. She's beautiful. And I'm like, as I thought, everyone's aiming for her, right? Everyone aims for her. But little by little, you get to see her personality, and you like, oh, no. Mm. And it took me about 4 episodes to be like, oh, no. It took the rest of them, the whole show, to be like, oh, no. But one of them was still like, man, she's so bad, though. I'm willing to compromise my views, my perspective. Like, all she was like, yo, I'm not taking my man's last name. I would never do that. And he was like, well, I feel like that's a strong value of mine. And by the end of it, he was like, well, I mean, maybe, you know, I guess I'll give it. You know what I'm saying? So the point I'm making is that at the end of the day, you know, that physical attraction can be there. But if you get to know her as a friend, you might realize that physical attraction ain't going to be enough. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Now, if she's an object, if you just want to objectify her, you just want to ride that horse, that's all she is to you, then, yeah, you don't care because you don't got to deal with the dynamic of her personality. But once you start seeing women, which changed for me, once I started seeing women as dynamic, complex individuals and not just breasts and vagina, not just lips and fingernails and toes, but dynamic, intellectual, complex beings, then you start saying, well, let me peel these layers back. Because it's toes everywhere. It's breasts and vagina everywhere. It's all the women got them. So if that's all you after, it don't take, like, what else you need? You know what I mean? So
I get that.
Move beyond that.
You got to be patient and you got to be committed to your values.
Absolutely.
Like you said, that dude, he was about to throw out his whole, yeah, whatever. She just that bad.
She bad.
Crazy. Right.
And you're going to be divorced to a bad chick.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I'm sure y'all got ex-girlfriends who bad. And you're like, nope, would never go back.
Never. Would not advise it.
Yeah. See what I'm saying? Would never go back to her. Why? Because there was some personality deficiencies or some compatibility issues, and you were like, nah, this ain't it. And I think that's what has to happen.
Now, within commitment, going back to that, I think the only way to really know that you truly committed is for it to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the only way to know if you really committed, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just reflecting back on your marriage,
yeah.
Just when would you say that your commitment was most tested? In marriage.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So I think early in my marriage, because mind you, I got married young. I was very naive, very idealistic. So I would say I have alpha male energy, so to speak. You know what I mean? And I got married to a woman who was a leader as well, who was, you know, she has alpha woman energy in some respects. And I think the first test was our personalities clashing. You know, we didn't see that. I saw her as a friend, but you don't typically get in, like, intense arguments with your friends, with your female friends. So us getting in some intense disagreements was the first test of my commitment, because it was like, oh, no, I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm used to being able to leave. I can just leave when I want to leave, or I can break up with you. I don't like the way you're talking to me. I don't like the way this interaction is going. I don't like our first argument. So stupid. But our first argument was over paper plates. Like, big argument, because I grew up without having. She grew up, you know, a pretty, you know, suburban, like, well, not well-to-do, but middle-class family.
Yeah. You was trying to wash the paper plates.
No. I was like, we not eating on no paper plates because these people done brought us dishes for our wedding. We eating dishes. And she was like, it's not a big deal. It's just paper plates. And I was like, no. We got plates now. Right. We eating off plates. You know what I'm saying? What you doing with these paper plates? So I'm upset. And she's like, it ain't that big of a deal. Like, why? I don't feel like washing these dishes. You gonna wash the dishes? And we hadn't really discussed who does dishes and what whose role is what, and it just blew up. And it was the biggest fight we ever had. And I'm going to tell on you, babe. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell on you. She threw a dish. She threw a dish. And I was like, oh, you throwing stuff? Is that what we... is that what I signed
and
up
you
had, for?
You have never saw that from
I
her.
I ain't never. And, you know, I've always been the type of person where, because I had options, because, you know, I was alpha energy leader, fraternity athlete, it was like, I don't gotta deal with nothing if I don't want to. I just move on. There's somebody else. So you're not gonna disrespect me. I'm moving on. And it was like, oh, I'm married to you. Like, I can't go nowhere. I mean, that's because our thing was, for better or worse, in sickness or health, till death do us part. Like, we were serious. You know what I mean? Unless it's some extreme circumstances, that's what we were sticking to. So I was like, this ain't enough for me to have to dip. So we got to work through this. That's the first time my commitment was really tested. And that went on, if I'm being honest, we've been together 18 years. That went on for about 7 years. That just clashing. There was times in the first 7 years of marriage, I was like, can one of us just die so we can be done with this? You know what I mean? Like, I just don't want to be in this no more. This is dumb. But because I believed in the Bible and I believe in the scriptures that, you know, divorce was reserved for infidelity or abuse, I was like, that's not where we are. So I don't have a biblical reason to get out of this marriage.
So that was the only reason you stayed, was because of your faith?
Yes.
Wow.
Because I was like, this is what I signed up for. And so it's like, all right, well, God, you got to come through, because it ain't no out in this. You know what I mean? It's like, I signed up for this and there's no way out. And that's where, honestly, where faith does come into play, because it's like, now, God, you're going to have to show up, because I don't want to be here. You know, that was the first 7 years of our marriage, like hell.
Well, what was the major difference between you guys dating and it being marriage? Was it marriage specifically that brought those issues out, or was it, could it have been resolved if you'd had some tough conversations maybe prior to actually getting married?
First thing was, Lecrae needed therapy. Lecrae was not a healed person. So Lecrae was operating out of self-righteousness. Lecrae was operating out of toxic masculinity. Lecrae was operating out of patriarchy, a little bit of misogyny. And Lecrae hadn't dealt with those issues in his own life. He didn't see how they were affecting his marriage, right? My wife hadn't dealt with her anger issues. So there was therapy needed for her anger. Like, where was this coming from? She was an only child. So having to wrestle with another person to come to a conclusion was a new concept for her. So we both had to get some help in that particular area to, like, come out on the other side better. But those things were not addressed early on. As friends, now here's the thing. This is the beautiful thing about us being friends, though. That was my friend. So it was like, I love my friend. I enjoy my friend. We stay up 24 hours watching The Wire. You know what I mean? That's my dog. We travel together. We laugh together. We joke together. She just pissing me off right now in a major way. And I don't want to be married to her. I like her as my friend. And that was really the foundation that we needed, that we didn't realize. We needed that. Obviously, we needed the Lord as our foundation, but that friendship was really what saved us, if I'm being honest.
You know what's crazy? Those things that you named that didn't help you aid you in marriage are things that kind of help you when you're single, when you're a player. A little self-righteous, a little misogynistic, a little about the patriarchy. Like, those are all things that kind of numb you to emotion.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They have you willing to walk away from relationships at a drop of a dime.
Even almost boost your confidence a little
bit. It does.
Oh, yeah. It does. Oh, my God.
That's so toxic.
Oh, man. I remember when I first crossed, I pledged Kappa. You know, shout out to all the noobs out there. I pledged Kappa. And when I first crossed, you know, I remember one of my older brothers in the fraternity said, the day you cross, they're going to treat you different. And they taught us that once they treat you different, give them no attention. don't you don't even pay them no mind. Now, I was thinking it's all theoretical. I'm like, oh, cool, yeah, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, cool. Man, I came out that limousine and did my little shimmy, and the girls was screaming and reaching and grabbing, and I was like, oh, my God. Now, when you go from not having every girl on campus chasing after you to now it's happening, and they tell you, don't act like they don't exist, that's hard initially. So at first, I was like, ha, I like it. But they was trained. I was walking on campus one day with, you know, an older, one of my older bros. Yeah, pro fight. And some ladies walked by and they said, hey, Lecrae. He said, you better not pay them no mind. And I was like, okay. I did not pay them no mind. And then little by little, I just grew callous and arrogant. And just that became my demeanor. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, yeah, I know she see me. I would walk up to girls and say, hey, let me do you a favor. Let me let you get to know me. Like, I was
savage.
Like, callous. You know what I mean? So yeah, like, you become a jerk. Mm-hmm. You become a, and all of that stuff.
That's anti-marriage.
It is.
It really is anti-marriage.
Facts. And here I am thinking that, well, I met Jesus now, and all that's just going to go away. No, my brother, you need to do some work. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you met the Lord, and you a new creature, but you still need to do the work. And I hadn't done the work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that's a lot of people in that situation. Because we, even as young men, mm-hmm. that's what we get taught. So you talk mm-hmm. about learning in college, but I remember going to the mall, you know, with Big Cousin, mm-hmm. get as many numbers as possible.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Little things like that, yeah. It's ingrained in you over yeah. years, and you become, like you said, this callous.
How many did you get? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like not did you meet a quality young lady? Mm-hmm. How many numbers did you get? Because the goal is to have as many as you. The goal is a harem.
Yep.
The goal is not one. The goal is a harem. You know what I mean? So.
So I'm, and at this point too, by the way, 7 years in marriage, your career, is it growing at this point?
Yeah. Career's growing.
See, so that's another thing that doesn't necessarily help the arrogance
no.
or self-righteousness when no. you're having success
yes.
in a certain area of your life.
That's
one
right.
of the fears I hear from a lot of women mm-hmm. is to be just the building block in a man's life where he then can leave and level up on the woman, right? Trade her in.
My.
For a white girl.
That's what the black women say, right?
Right.
Trade her in for the white woman.
But
this is the thing now. What's your thoughts on that? Because did you ever consider, or was that ever a thought?
So, like, you see it so much, right? It becomes such a staple that. First of all, it's a lie, because the truth of the matter is the grass ain't greener on the other side. It's greener where you water it. But the grass does begin to look greener because you have access to a different kind of grass. Mm. Right. So it's like, oh, I never had. I didn't know I could get this kind of grass. And that's what you typically see happen. So most of these dudes be ugly, too. They be ugly and they be a poor character. Ugly, poor character dudes who become rock stars, celebrities, so on and so forth. They break up with the woman who stood by them to get them to the place where they was at. And then they go upgrade them for some light-skinned, long-haired, you know,
standard model. Standard model.
With all the fixings.
Yeah. With all the fixings. You know what I'm saying? And it's because, but she would have never wanted you in your origin state.
Not at all.
She wouldn't have never went for you. You would have walked up to her and be like, hey, what's going on? And she would have pretended like you didn't exist. So what does that tell you about her? You know what I'm saying? Now she's going to tell you, yeah, I would have dated you. Yeah, I would have. But where was they at? Why you wasn't with her from the get-go? So I will say this. Yes, you see it happen so many times that you begin to process that. Like the what ifs. Now, the early reality that I came to was that the 80-20 rule. 80% of what I have, this 20% doesn't have, right? This other woman she only got 20% of what I'm not seeing at home, but she don't got the other 80%. She don't got the wash your dirty drawers, put up with your self-righteousness, your ignorance, smell your breath in the morning, tolerate your growth and all of the antics that you may have had, sit with you while you're crying, all those types of things. And I just think, you know, when the rubber meets the road, a lot of that stuff is superficial and they're not really going to be there. So that was the thing I had to realize early on. Now, I'd be lying if I didn't say that there were seasons early in my marriage where I was like, I created this other person in my head. Like, man, I wish I had somebody who would blank, 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 blank. But she really didn't exist, right? Because that person's not out there. That's another broken woman out there who doesn't really exist. You created her. So you just made up somebody in your mind that's going to treat you the way you want to be treated. Mm. And honestly, there's nobody on this planet that's going to... That's the problem for a lot of us as men is we're looking for someone to complete us. We should already know we're complete. And so now, as a complete person, who do you want to share life with? You know what I mean? Like, you're complete because of who God made you to be, not because somebody else is a part of your life. So until you get healing and you feel whole, you're always going to be looking for a trophy. You're always going to be looking for an accessory woman. She's just an accessory. She's not really somebody you want to enrich her life and be committed to and make and grow with. She's an accessory that makes you look better.
What does that say about a man that, you know, wants to have a trophy wife?
Yeah. I mean, you get what you asked for. You got what you deserved. So if she's shallow and superficial, she looks good, but she doesn't fulfill your real needs, you got what you asked for. And unfortunately, a lot of men will not become better human beings because you can be old and not mature.
Right.
You know, a lot of men will not grow because they don't have someone who's going to stretch them and grow them. And that's, I mean, God's intention for marriage is sanctification, which is the process of becoming a different version of you, a better version of you. And my wife makes me better. It's not easy, but I'm a better person because of her. You know what I mean? So if you are with somebody who's not making you better through stretching you, not catering to you and not enabling you, but making you better through stretching you, then you might want to scratch your head and say, man, what am I doing? You know, what am I involved in?
That might be the key to why many people are still single, men particularly, because mm-hmm. you talk about getting better. It means, because even, you know, you talk about your spouse helping you to improve.
Yeah.
But I think just the parameters that's put on marriage, the traditional marriage in general, mm-hmm. will help you improve. I mean, the way you invest your time has to go in a specific direction.
Yeah.
The way you spend your resources has to go a specific direction. Things that you could do prior to you having children, mm-hmm. you can no longer do because of your commitment to another life.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that men know that.
Yeah.
So if I get married, if I choose to be with this woman, I literally will have to change who I am.
Yeah.
Change probably 80% of what you actually do.
Absolutely. And now you're dealing with somebody, you got to find somebody who's willing to be with a new person, because you're going to be a million different people over the course of your marriage. Mm. You're going to consistently change. Who's going to adapt with you through that process? Like, who? And I'm going to give you a hot take. So this is my hot take is I think it is, if you do not have a relationship with God, I think marriage is going to be prison for you. I think it's going to be prison because now there's no moral standard. There's no moral hierarchy. If there's no God, then there's no good. There's no right. There's no wrong. If we're all a bunch of cosmic accidents, we all just a bunch of atoms and neurons and whatever, we have no purpose. If there's no purpose, then nothing matters. So why are you committing yourself to a person? Nothing matters. It don't matter if you stay with her or you leave her. It don't matter if y'all love each other, because you don't matter. You're just matter. You're just atoms and whatever. So if you don't believe in God, you don't believe in purpose. And God is the one who gives you purpose. And if your purpose is received and not achieved, then now you can say, okay, there's a purpose for me being committed to this person. There's a meaning behind us staying together. There's a reason that I should commit to her. because there's a God, and God says this, and God, you know, these are the parameters that he says. And if you don't have a relationship with God, it's going to be prison, because you're like, why am I doing this? Why? I can sleep with anybody I want to at any time. Mm. They got Viagra now. I can sleep with women till I'm 85. Like, why am I committing to you? And so some people would say they're just very disciplined. And sure, maybe you are. I mean, there's Christians, people who love God, who are not disciplined at all. Maybe you are. But I would say, you know, the enchantment, the lovey-dovey feelings, they only last for so long. And if you're going to be committed to somebody, then you got to believe in purpose. You got to believe there's got to be something bigger than yourself. Because if you are the center of your own world, no one's ever going to be able to satisfy you. You're going to be looking forever.
Mm. Did you know that before marriage? Like, was it important to make sure that you married a believer, or was that by accident?
No, I mean, I knew that because I had mentors. You know, my mentor said, I asked him, I was like, yo, I don't know who I'm supposed to be with. Like, what am I? And, you know, obviously he took me to the scriptures about being unevenly yoked with the non-believers. Like, it's not a crime, but it's something that if you find yourself in that position where you're a believer and your spouse is not, there's like, hey, work through that, love them well. But if you have the option to go into it knowing this is not a believer, don't do that, because y'all's standards is going to be something completely different. Y'all basis of morality and purpose and meaning is going to be something completely different. So, and I see a lot of women do that too. I see a lot of women say, oh, well, maybe I can change you. Like, you can't change him. He got to want to change, you know, and God got to do that work in his heart. So I knew that. And honestly, that was the confidence that I had in the dark times. It's like, well, if the Spirit of God is living inside this woman, then he can change her, right? And if the Spirit of God is living inside of me, then I can be changed and we can be changed. But if we just dead people walking, well, God, you're going to have to resurrect us, because it's bad out here. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Is it levels to it? So, like, I'm thinking about when you decided to, you know, wed your wife, mm-hmm. right? And you thinking about her values and kind of where she stands with God.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like, okay, she has a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to church. She mm-hmm. also practices customs that I can see kind of how mm-hmm. she operates. Or is it just as simple as somebody saying, you know, I have a relationship with God? Like, what level should you be looking for in a potential partner?
That's a great question.
That's
actually
a good question. I think that obviously I would say, man, if they say they have a relationship with God, right, do you see evidence of that? And that's what I would be looking for. Like, if you say you're an apple tree, but all I see is oranges, are you an apple tree? You know what I'm saying? So is there evidence, is there fruit of this relationship that they say they have with God? That's something that would be particular, you know, I think just a standard. Now, there's going to be variables and, you know, there's different views and variables, and you're going to have to know that for yourself, like what you believe about the type of church or how often or how frequent or what that looks like. You know, I was very, like I said, I was self-righteous and very staunch, and God bless my wife for staying with me, because I was rigid, and I was like this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And it was like, I was killing her. I was killing the person that she was, because I wasn't allowing her to thrive. Mm. But I was young. So in hindsight, ultimately, I needed someone who was committed to the Lord, and I'm going to say the S word that women hate, but submissive to the Spirit of God, right? Submission is not a bad word, right? It's in the Bible. It's not a bad word. Like, we should submit to each other in different capacities. Just like leadership, I'm supposed to lead, but I don't have to be a tyrant. I can lead in love. I can lead in humility. I can lead in washing the dishes. Like we're afraid of these terms because we have all these negative connotations with them. And so he ain't my leader. I ain't submitting. You know, it's like, well, wait. Don't let the culture define what these things mean. Let God define what these things mean. It's because the culture has a lot of toxic energy as it pertains to these terminologies.
Right.
And it's like, no, I don't agree with that either. He walking in the house saying, where my dinner at? Woman cooked it, washed the dish. Like, no. Heck no, that's crazy. But I needed her to be submissive to the Spirit of God so that God could change her in the event that we were having marital problems. You know what I'm saying? I needed that to be a reality. And that's what she needed from me too. But again, I'm gonna say this one more time. Like, I think because women are just naturally better at communicating and processing emotions and feelings, that and men bottle them up, a lot of times you have women who are emotionally and relationally healed dealing with unhealed men. And that's why there's a lot of scars, a lot of shrapnel. Men, like I'm in healthy male relationships. Me and my friends are integrated. Like, we talk about everything. We'll go to the cigar lounge. How you doing, man? When's the last time you were happy? What's life looking like? What's your highs and lows? You know what I'm saying? What's disturbing you? How's your marriage? What's raising your kid? What's your struggles? What you struggling with? We cry together. We laugh together. We are integrated men. So I'm not walking around with unprocessed emotions and unresolved, you know, relational things happening. So when I walk into the house, I'm not just a disaster that she has to deal with. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of men are that. They don't have healthy relationships with other men. They don't have places to process what they're experiencing in life. And this what we are. We are motorboats, and motorboats run out of gas. So you want to be one of three kinds of water vehicles. You're going to be a motorboat, you're going to be a sailboat, or you're going to be a raft. A motorboat goes and goes and goes and runs out of gas. Women are attracted to motorboats. Look at him. He's successful. He's working. He's got this. He's got that. Bam, 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 bam. But he ain't processing nothing emotionally. He doesn't even know how to rest. He's not a healthy individual. He's a workaholic, and he is emotionally unavailable. And then there's the raft. He might be available, but he just floating. He just coasting through life. I don't know what I'm gonna do tomorrow. He probably smoking a pound of weed, just chilling. Like,
right. He can't afford a pound now.
Unambitious. Right. You know what I'm saying?
He buying it blunt by blunt.
strong midget.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So he's a raft. He's a bump on a log. You know what I'm saying? And you are dragging him. He not leading you. You dragging this man everywhere. You dragging him. He gonna be better. We gonna get him together. We gonna get him a job. He's a raft. What men need to be are sailboats. A sailboat, you do gotta put in some work. You gotta deal with the rudder. You gotta deal with all. You gotta raise the sail. There's work that has to be done. But ultimately, he knows where the wind is blowing, and he adjusts his sail as such. Man, and for me, the wind is God's leading, and I'm adjusting my sail to follow where God is trying to take me. Now, that's somebody you can follow because they're doing their work, but they're also attuned to the direction that they need to be going in. They have morality. They have values. They have purpose. They're not just, I'm gonna be a billionaire before I'm 50. They're not just, I'm just chilling. You know what I mean? And so women are constantly, you know, working on themselves through communicating with one another. And men, man, we just be motorboating through life, not dealing with nothing. And then we run out of gas, and the women are shrapnel. We dump it all on Shorty one night in the bedroom, and we start talking to her and crying, and oh man, and you know, my mama this and mama that, and da 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 da. And then we break her heart 6 months later, yep, and move on to the next one. You are not healed, sir.
So I want to ask that too, because when you talk about the healing part, and I think the people of faith really need to hear this, because you said you had to do a lot of work.
Yeah.
I think obviously when it comes to putting in the work, some aspect of it can come from just principally applying the rules of your faith.
For sure.
Obeying some of the spiritual laws of healing.
For sure.
And understanding how to ground yourself there.
Yeah.
But then there's an actual real work that got to be done elsewhere.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
What was the balance of God getting you right, that part of your life, and you actually, the therapy side of things, you actually going in and being intentional and doing a deep dive that way?
Well, that's what a lot of people, that's part of the problem, is that people think that they're mutually exclusive. And I'm like, God provided therapy. Mm. God put the people with the gifting and the knowledge, the medical know-how to help you. Because what we're talking about is your brain, right? We're talking about the way your brain processes things. I'm on stage, I fall off a stage, I mess up my leg. I get it checked out. They say you need physical therapy. So I go to a doctor who knows how to help my leg heal. A lot of people don't see the brain as an organ. They just see it as a part of their soul, right? But your brain is an organ that's going to help you process. So when you go through trauma, your brain, your body is keeping the score of the trauma that's happened. Your brain is holding on to these things and trying to process it. Therapy are, you're dealing with people who study neuroscience, people who study the way the mind works, cognitive behavioral therapy to help your brain process the trauma that you've experienced so that you can find healing. It's therapy for your brain in the same way you need therapy for your muscles and your legs. So yeah, God is good and God is like, hey, I want your leg to be healed, but it ain't gonna be healed unless you go to physical therapy. So I provided you a way to experience healing. I provided you therapists to help you get healed. In the Bible, Paul says, renew your mind. So go renew your mind and think different thoughts. Stop dwelling on the negative. Stop thinking that women are objects. Like, learn how to process the things that happen. For my first day in therapy, you know, I had gone through a really bad time. And I was, you know, dealing with stress and depression and dealing with anxiety and not knowing how to communicate with my wife and just going through it. You know, I was thinking about, like, man, should I even stay in this relationship? My faith was crumbling. You know, I didn't know where I stood. And I'm the type of person that I'm all or nothing. So if my faith is crumbling, then nothing matters. Mm. So I was like, well, why am I even in this marriage? I don't know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Mm. So my first time in therapy, my therapist asked me to talk to me about my parents. And then we talk about my parents. I'm just sharing because I'm like, what? I ain't got nothing to lose. I'm probably never see this lady again. So
right.
I don't care. You know what I mean? At this point in time, I didn't care. So I know typically black people be like, I ain't telling nobody my business.
That's exactly right. What they think.
You ain't finna know my business. But in my brain, I was like, man, I ain't going to see this lady again. I don't care. So I'm telling her about my parents, you know. And then she says, you do know that two broken people do not create a healed person. And I said, shoot, I never thought about that. I come from a broken family. I come from a lot of dysfunction. And for me to believe that just because I was financially successful, that because my career was doing well, I had kids and a wife, I had the white picket fence, that I was somehow whole and healthy, and I knew God, was a lie. Because I was raised in my formative years by one, broken person, but two broken people who hadn't dealt with their own healing and their own trauma. Oprah has an incredible book called What Happened to You. It's her and her therapist. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend it. I don't recommend everything Oprah does. I'm not endorsing everything come out of Oprah's mouth, but this book, for sure.
Solid.
I don't know what she did to Taraji. I don't got nothing to do with that. But I like this book.
Disclaimer.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But what the premise of the book is, like, a lot of times we're so busy saying, man, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Instead of saying, what happened to you? What happened to you? Mm-hmm. Something happened to make you the way that you are. No one is the way they are by osmosis, you know, so something happened. And that's what therapy began to do for me, was unlock those keys. And little by little, you just notice, like, new things. It's called neuroplasticity. Your brain changes. You can change the way you see the world. One of the things my therapist said was, you can say no. Like, you have the power of saying no to all of the formative things that your family may have rules. They don't have to be your rules. Mm-hmm. We don't tell our business. Who made that rule? I just told my business to my therapist. Mm-hmm. I don't have to say yes to that rule. You know what I mean?
Like, wow.
And you have permission. We don't cry in this family, boy. Yes, I do. I do cry. I cry all the time, and it's okay. I have the power to say no to these rules that you created.
Man, honestly, that's heavy. We did a show last night, and we got into that a bit because what we talked about, she described what we typically call generational curses, mm-hmm. essentially they're generational patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when we talk about being generational curse breakers, we really saying being generational pattern
Facts.
Breakers.
Facts.
But we have to, it's our job, if you want to break any pattern, is to identify which parts of the pattern are toxic.
Mm.
So you can know which ones to break.
That's good.
Because a lot of times it all starts looking the same.
That's good.
Oh, we think it's all good it's if it normal. Came from mom.
It's yeah. normal.
It's normal. Yeah.
It's normal. We normalize it. It's the it's olfactory fatigue. It's the idea of when you live by a trash dump, if you spend enough time around it, you no longer can smell the stink of it. And that's what we begin to embody. Is the toxicity, is normalizing these toxic behaviors and these toxic things. And then we start trauma bonding. You know, it's like you ain't been through no healing from the toxic situations that you've been through. And so you start bonding with somebody who ain't been healed. And now your whole situation is terrible. It's like, well, I didn't grow up with my parents. And, you know, my mom was a drug addict. And I just, you know, I'm just how I am. And then you go looking for somebody who got that same story, that same narrative. And you wondering why y'all got, like, issues. And I'm not saying it can't work, but I'm just saying that you do not have to be your past. You don't have to be your trauma. You're not your trauma, you know, and you can move beyond that. So that's what I've had to do consistently. I think that's why people gravitate to my music, is because I'm unashamed to talk about those aspects of my life. I put it all out there. You know, I've had people come to me and just like confess crazy stuff because they like, man, I just feel like I can talk to you because of this. You told on yourself.
Right.
So let me tell on myself. And I mean, I can tell on myself because I've experienced healing. If you haven't experienced healing, you got something to hide. Now, I'm not saying the whole world need to know your business, but what I'm saying is, if nobody knows your business, you got some healing to do.
Mm.
Now, you mentioned, because healing,
yeah.
very important, right? It's one of the biggest reasons we got the show, okay?
Mm.
Now, we had on the Queen Afu on the show,
mm-hmm.
and she is legendary in the thousands of women and men she has helped, you know, overcome all obstacles of emotional, spiritual, mental, you know, illness, I would mm-hmm, say, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, we dropped the show, and the show just didn't get as much viewership as I would have thought, right? And we go back, we're looking at some of the comments, and the comments are just like, it's, you can tell it's people that even just based on her aesthetic, some of the things that she was sharing about things like the 42 laws of my eye, they just like, whatever she got going on cannot possibly be good counsel.
Mm.
Now, you talked about early on in your relationship with your religion, you was very stringent or strict mm-hmm. on how things should operate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that probably more than likely impacted the way you were considerate of your wife, the mm-hmm. different ideas that could have came, the different things that you were open to.
Mm-hmm.
So my question for you is, as you matured in your relationship with your spirituality,
mm-hmm.
how were you able to become more receptive of different ideas and different thoughts that might actually help you out in the long term, mm-hmm. even though they may not have been exactly, you know, come exactly in the packaging that you might have been accustomed to?
Right. I think part of it is for me is an understanding that, like, you know, all wisdom comes from the Lord, right? All of it. So I don't think that we are, I don't think there's any way to come across truth without understanding it came ultimately from God. So that's the lens that I'll see it through. And even the Proverbs, you know, historically it's been said that Solomon gathered wise sages from around the world who did not necessarily believe in what he believed, but these were sayings that were wise. I don't think that wisdom is exclusive to Christians.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think that I believe in common grace. I believe that God can allow people from all backgrounds to operate in wisdom and operate in helpful things. You know, that's just the reality. So for me, it's like, I know how to chew up the meat and spit out the bones. If it's like, I don't agree with that, but that's a really good principle. I mean, in the end of the day, we do that all the time. Right? Most of us went to secular institutions or secular schools. That's where you learned your ABCs. You saying the ABCs weren't good for you? I mean, it wasn't like whoever right. taught you how to read and write was saying, and the reason, and let me tell you about the Lord. You know, it's like you can absorb helpful and wise things from people who are outside of your faith worldview if you know, you know, how to receive what is helpful and use it in a way that would be honoring to what you believe. Mm. And so for me, it's like, I can do that. Everybody can't do that.
Everybody though. Cannot do
that. Everybody can't do that. So, you know,
What I think that shows, not to cut you off,
yeah.
but I really think that shows a lack of confidence in what you know and believe.
Mm.
Here's why. I feel like if you are fully grounded in what you know,
mm-hmm.
you fully studied,
mm-hmm.
you got it together there,
yeah.
then if you listen to someone else's wisdom,
mm-hmm.
even if you question it,
yeah.
it shouldn't shake your foundation.
Right, right.
Like you said, take the meat, spit out the bones.
Absolutely.
I feel many of us, we are already not really sturdy in the faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because I think many of us are so scared,
yeah.
or intimidated
yeah.
by hearing wisdom
yeah.
from something else that's packaged differently
yeah.
because this might already pull me off this foundation of sand
yeah.
that I'm sitting on right now.
Right, 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 right.
So the thing about it, I don't think anybody, especially if you know what you believe yeah. is rooted in truth,
yeah.
should be afraid of hearing someone else. But again, that's just me.
No, I think that's, I mean, when you look at people who deal in diamonds, they don't study fake diamonds. They study the real ones so well that when a fake one comes across their plate, they know that's not a real diamond.
Mm.
And if you know the truth well enough, it's easy to spot a lie, but it's also easy to spot spot truth in the midst of it. So I don't think
that's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, I mean, I look at it like this. I look at it like, If I'm to take it to the streets, right? It's like you outside dealing with hustlers and dealing with con artists all the time. If you know, if you understand the environment, you know what's going on, you know what part of what they're saying is legit, and you know what part is a con. Mm-hmm. You can see through it, and it's like, okay, this is legit or this is not legit. Like I know what I'm dealing with out here, so. I look at it from that side of the spectrum. Like some people, like they just giving you something that's counterproductive. And it's like, yo, man, turn this off. You know, and that right. it's some folks like, I don't know. Let me not say I believe. I don't know for certain because I'm not a deep diver into this red pill community or yeah, whatever right, that is. Right. But some of the stuff that comes across my plate, I'm like, this is trash. This is garbage. You right. know what I'm saying? Like. You know, I'm a high value man and I need a woman who I like, get out of here. It's trash. But that's not to say that there aren't people who have some of those values and views and also say some other things that I'm like, that's actually pretty good.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like there's some truth in that. Like, you know, sometimes I think Kevin Samuels was his
yeah.
name.
Yeah.
Sometimes Kevin Samuels, I would see him talking to a young lady and I'm like, yo, what he said was legit. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's misogynistic as hell, but he's not lying.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. He's like, oh, well, shorty, you know what I'm saying? You know why he don't like you, right? I mean, you 43 and you know what I'm saying? You got 6 kids. Like he don't want to be with you because of that. And it's like, that's not a lie.
right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So I just, it doesn't mean I embrace all of the toxicness that may come with it or whatever rubs up against my faith. It just means that I know how to chew up the meat and spit out the bones.
You got to be able to sift through it.
Yeah.
And this is the information age. So you have to do that now more than ever
gosh.
Because you can't just take everything for truth.
Yeah.
And just believe and run with everything you hear and everything that's told.
Oh, yeah.
So if anything, this is like the time more than ever to be rooted in what's real
yes.
and what's true because so much is about to be thrown at you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you just got to expect, you just can't expect to run away from it all because
man.
We are in it. We in it right now.
It takes us so long to get smart. That's what bothers me. Like, remember when memes on Instagram was a thing and people would post memes and people would believe it?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, yo, why does it take us so long to get smart? Like, now you see a meme, you're like, get this trash out of here. Don't be putting no memes on your Instagram page. Like, get this trash out of here. But back in the day, it'd be like, dang, that's crazy.
That was deep. That was deep.
You know what I mean? Now I feel like it's like, it's soundbite culture. It's like you get a soundbite without the context, and it's like,
yes,
that's what they running with.
Yep.
Like, that's the whole truth. And it's like, come on, fam.
That's people's entire platform. They create content just for the soundbite.
Man.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, fam. Like, I mean, I'm dealing with it now. I got people saying I'm a part of all kinds of Illuminati's and all kinds of things because of soundbite. You know, I may have said something like, I could say the word Epstein, and it's like, oh, he said that word. Right. I knew it. And it's like, are you serious right now? Watch the whole context. It's wild, man.
Now, yeah, y'all absolutely do, man. First of all, I have a ton of respect for everything that you've built, you know, how you've developed, how you continue to really develop and be an example and a light, you know, in a very dark space, you know. And the fact that you've been able to achieve this amount of this level of success being a light should really inspire other lights.
Right.
Yeah.
To keep shining, man, to keep going, to keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, but I want to do something very special.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
What are we doing?
Because first off, we're going to gift you this Harlan Love deck. I want you to have that. But what I want to do before I let you go is I actually want to read you one of the questions out this deck here.
All right.
Okay, let's get it.
And I want to go ahead and see how you respond to this joint here. So I'm going to go ahead.
Oh, let's go.
And
I like
pull
this.
One out.
Because I'm the romantic dude in my house. I got this.
I'm excited to be able to play these in. Yeah, you're going to have a good time.
So we're going
to
see this. All right. So here goes. Just fresh out the deck. Come random on. Pick here.
I don't know what he picked.
First of all, it's a blessing.
Bang.
Always to have Lecrae.
Always.
And congrats, man.
Thank absolutely.
You. Next time I come, I bring my Grammys. I'm going to put one on each side.
I just want a whole one. We taking shots? I want y'all joking.
We bringing the Grammys on here next to you. Listen, y'all. Look, we got it on camera. Lecrae is going to be back. But thank y'all so much for making it this deep in the episode. Continue, guys. You can't leave and you can't go without going ahead and smashing that subscribe button to help us grow and expand the platform, expand the message and the territory of Hardly Initiated, because it allows us to consistently bring you messages just like this one here today. But much love to everybody tuning in. Much love to Lecrae and everything that you got going on. Make sure y'all tap in with this brother here. All of his contact information will be in the description, along with your link to the Hardly In Love dating deck here for you guys. But y'all already know how we do it. Hardly Initiated. We are out.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.